Praise the Lord for that. Great version of that hymn. Great truth in it. Certainly ministered to my soul, it ministered to yours. I was also impressed that Claire could play the piano from way over there. And the wife, I okay, so children can be dismissed, yeah, and we'll get to the preaching of God's word. So the children under Sunday school, preacher's taking his jacket off, so get ready. To the preaching of God's word, and we're going to be in Ezra, chapter number 6. Ezra, chapter number 6, we're going to read from verse 17 all the way down to verse 22, and we're going to close out this chapter. Have your Bibles, get them open. Ezra, chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 17. And the word of God says this: "And offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs." I say, let's stop. Go back to verse 16. Let's settle our hearts. And I would ask, if you're able to stand, would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? If you're able to. No worries if you can, but if you are, I'm not going to do this for every passage of Scripture, but I think when we dedicate ourselves to the Lord, we have to give a reverence to what the Lord has for us in His Word. The end of chapter number 6 and verse number 16. "And the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. And offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure, and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity, and for all the brethren of the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all has such separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel." Let's just pray quickly. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would indeed speak to us this morning. I ask that you would use me. Lord, help me to be filled with your Spirit and have unction from on high. Lord, that the message that you bring this morning will be one that we need, we hear, we apply to our lives. Whatever we need this morning, Lord, we ask that you would give it to us. Would you comfort us if we need comfort? Would you encourage us if we need encouragement? Would you challenge us if we need challenge? Would you convict us, Lord, if we need conviction? Lord, we want you to move. We ask that you would do that. That the preaching of your word, as you promised, would not return void. That it would speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, Dedication Sunday, and as I said, this has been building all the way through. This has been building to this point in our study in Ezra. And we've gone from chapter 1, and we've gone through, we haven't missed anything, and we've gone through line by line, and I believe absolutely it's been a message for the hour that the Lord has really spoken to us. He's certainly spoken to me through this. And we get to Dedication Sunday, And the Sunday that people had asked for dedication just happens to be the Sunday, not through planning, just the way the Lord has brought it to be, that we end up at the place in Ezra where the people of God dedicate the temple of God. It's a time of dedication. And what we're going to do is go through this and see what the Lord has for us. But I want you to know that I haven't manufactured this. That's the joy of preaching through the Bible expositionally. The fact is that when we go through, the Lord leads us. So, you know, when I get to this place and there is dedications that have been asked for, and it hasn't been because, we're talking about dedication this Sunday. We know the Lord's speaking. We know the Lord's speaking. And I think he's going to speak to us this morning. I pray that he's going to speak to us. He spoke to me when I prepared this message. So if our hearts are ready before the Lord, he's going to speak to us. And he does have a message for us. You know, people often say this, you know, I'm not hearing from God. God seems silent in my life. I'm going through a difficult time, and I can't hear him. What I want to say to you is that God, when he spoke, he never stopped speaking. His eternal word is eternal. Does eternal stop?
No.
Is God speaking today?
Yes.
Amen. He never stops speaking. He never stops speaking. And sometimes the noise of life and the difficulties of life blur out the sound of God's word in our lives. And we allow the distractions to come. I had another quote. I think it was from Adrian Rogers again. But he said this. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Because when you get busy by the things of the world, suddenly the voice of God gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And then sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of trial and trouble and difficulty. And we say, where's God in this? Where is he? He's right beside you. Do you know him as your Savior? He's right beside you. Is he speaking? Of course he's speaking. He never stops speaking. So if you want to hear from God what he has for you, open this book, which is his eternal word, and he will speak to you. God is speaking. And he's been using his word over these weeks to speak to us, to speak to our hearts, to challenge us about who we are as a church, who we are as believers, who we are before God. We close this chapter of Ezra, and it's going to be a close in Ezra until after Christmas, because the book of Ezra is really separated into two parts. And as we get to the end of chapter 6, and before chapter 7 starts, there's a gap in there. And the gap in there is about 50 years. When we get to Ezra chapter number 7, we're dealing with the time around Esther. We're dealing with the time when Ezra comes back himself. Ezra goes to Jerusalem. So we're going to take a break. We're going to pick up not in 50 years' time, but a couple of months' time. We're going to allow the Lord to do what he wants to do up through the Christmas period. So really, this is the culmination of part one. If this was a film series, this is the culmination of part one, or season one. And what we find is that we get to Ezra chapter number 6, and we find that the temple has been rebuilt. And they are about the business of dedicating that place to the Lord. The temple to the Lord is being dedicated. Now, dedication, here's the definition of dedication, according to the dictionary. Dedication is defined as this. It's the act of dedicating or the state of being dedicated. Okay? I want you to get that, because that's important when we go into the Word of God here. Dedication is defined as the act of dedicating or the state of being dedicated. And what we've had this morning, we have had a couple of acts of dedication. We've had the baby dedication, and we've had the ministry dedication. We've dedicated baby Valerie into the trust and care of the Lord. We've dedicated her parents, Johnny and Ingrid, into that ministry, because your home is a ministry. That's an act of dedication. We've dedicated Pavel and Joanna and the children into ministry. We've dedicated them into the work that the Lord has for them, but that's an act of dedication. When we unpack Ezra 6 as we have a look at this, we're going to see that there are acts of dedication in these passages. But what we want to focus in on is the state of dedication. Because that is the most important thing for us. What's done here as an act is one and done, as they say. But it's only the state of dedication that are going to bring those prayers, those fulfillments, to fulfillment. It's okay to say, yeah, we want to raise a baby Valerie in the Lord, but that's an act of dedication. There needs to be the state of dedication. It's okay to say as a church that we want to support these families and what they're doing. We want to build them up. And we have this act of dedication, but we need a state of dedication. And that's our personal walk before the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's have a look. Ezra chapter number 6, and we'll see here that there is joy in dedication. There's no doubt about it, there's joy in dedication. Whether it be the act of the state, there is joy in it. So first of all, let's look at verses 16 to 17, where we have the joyful act of dedicating places. Verse 16 and 17, and the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the rest of the children of captivity, kept the dedication of this house with joy. And offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. So here we see that there's a dedication of place, a building, and there's joy in it. There's joy in it. You know, it is joyful to dedicate a place to the Lord. It is. There's joy in that. There's nothing wrong with that. Because here the people of God, they did this. They dedicated the house of God to God. It was his house. And that's where they were going to serve him. And that's where they wanted to meet with him, and according to the Old Testament economy. And they did that with joy, and it was a momentous moment. Momentous. You think of all the difficulties they've had. They've been in exile for 70 years. They've come out, they've finally got back to go and build the temple, and they face difficulties. Now, some of these difficulties are of their own making, there's no doubt about it. But it's been a pretty roller coaster time for them as a people. And finally, they've hit the pinnacle where the building has been built, and they dedicate that. And that's fine. That's a pattern that we see in Scripture. Turn to Numbers chapter 7, verse number 1. Numbers 7, verse number 1. Here we see the tabernacle, the first dwelling place of God in terms of a building on earth. Numbers chapter 7, verse number 1. And it came to pass on the day Moses had fully set up the tabernacle, had anointed it, had sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them. Look at verse 10. And the princes, this is the heads of the tribes of Israel, offered for dedicating of the altar in that day. It was anointed. Even the princes offered their offering before the altar. So there's a dedication of the tabernacle, the first dwelling place of God. Then there's Solomon's temple, which was also dedicated, 1 Kings, chapter number 8, verse number 63. It says, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord, 220,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children dedicated the house of the Lord. So when we look back into Old Testament Scripture, we see that the first dwelling place, building dwelling place of God, the tabernacle, was dedicated to God. The temple that Solomon built was dedicated to God. And when we get here to Ezra chapter number 6, we find that they dedicate this temple, Zerubbabel's temple, we'll call it, the second temple, to God. So there's nothing wrong with dedicating places to God. Sometimes we get a little bit afraid of this because we think it's too Catholic-y or, you know, the church is a body, we're not a building. I agree with that, that's scripture. But there's nothing wrong with dedicating a place to God. Nothing wrong with it. I'm going to show you some slides from our Sending Church. Go ahead, Ian. This is Pastor David Byrne. How familiar is today? there's some other people there, you have the same me and Claire, are part of that. And what we're doing there is standing over a piece of ground that was given to us by the council eventually to build a new church building up in Milton and Stoke-on-Trent. And it was really just a car park for the street there. So there we are. There's a hole being dug. You can just see behind Pastor Moore there. And what we did, we had a groundbreaking service. We sang, we prayed. Some of the deacons and elders of the church, broke the first ground. And we prayed and we dedicated that place to the Lord. Turn to the next one. And that's what he did. So that plot of land that had nothing on it but potholes and puddles now has a church building and a thriving church in it. And it's dedicated to God. And there's nothing wrong with that. We don't worship it. We don't kiss the pillars every time we go in. Still on trend, we definitely wouldn't want to kiss the pillars. It's just a building. It's just a building. But it's dedicated to God for His glory and for His use. And there's a joy in that. And there was a joy in standing over that land and breaking that ground and saying, God, we're doing this for you. And there was a joy in that when the building was up and we could say, this is the Lord's house. There was a joy in it. Pick on, Kate. There was a joy in that dedication. Because there can't be joy in dedication.
Please.
But what I want to say to you, bring us back to our definition of dedication. Remember two things. There's an act of dedicating, and then there's a state of dedication. And the dedication of places, no matter how much joy it may bring, is an act of dedication. It's not a state of dedication, because it's just a place. So although it can be a joyous occasion, we have to remember that it's just an act. Secondly, then, in Ezra, we can see that there's the joyful act of dedicating people. Look at verses 18 to 20 of Ezra chapter number 6. There's joy in dedicating people. Verse 18, and they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure and killed the Passover for all of the children of the captivity and for the brethren of the priests and for themselves. So here the priests are set apart for the work of the Levitical system as given by God for temple worship. And the priests were essential to that. The people were essential. Firstly, they had to have the place. Then they had to have the people. And the people were the Levites. And they're the ones that operated in that temple worship. And what we see here is that they were set in their courses, they were set apart in their order for the service of God. Set apart for the service of God. They were dedicated into that servant. And there must be great joy in that. There must be great joy for those Levites that were of the priestly family that were able to serve in that, because all priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. So it was a special recognition. And you can imagine how thrilled they were
How thrilled they were to be able to be dedicated into the Lord's work. Pavel spoke about it, didn't he, when he gave a little testimony. How thrilled he was to be prayed for and dedicated as a family into the work of God. And there's joy in that dedication. But here's the thing that we see in this. There's joy in dedication of people, and those people are dedicated to be servants of God. But notice what it says. Let's read verse 18 again, chapter number 6. Let's read verse 18 again. And they set the priests in their divisions, and the Levites in their courses, for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. I want you to notice that. They're set apart to be servants of God according to the word of God. Servants of God according to the word of God. Not servants of God do what I want, when I want, how I want. There's plenty of lone rangers floating about. Servants of God according to the word of God. Numbers chapter number 3, verses 5 to 7 tells us this. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him, keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of God. So they're set apart to do the work of God according to the word of God. That is the ultimate caveat for all that we are to do. It has to be according to the word of God. What am I saying? I'm saying any service of God or for God that is not according to the word of God is not service for God. It's service for self. Doesn't matter how good it is, doesn't matter how great you think it is. If it's not according to the word of God, then it's not service for God, it's service for self. I could say many things in that, but I won't. We have to be according to God's word. We have to do what he's called us to do. So, the act of dedicating people, it's a beautiful thing, it's a wonderful thing, and it's right that we should be dedicated to the work of God according to his word, regardless of age or regardless of situation or circumstance. What we're dedicating those people into is really to follow the word of God and the will of God to achieve the work of God. That's what we're asking them to do. That's what we're praying for. That's what they're dedicating them into, to live by the word, to cherish it, to be dedicated to it, for it to be their guide and their course through life. Because if you're serving God and you're not doing it according to his word, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. You have to worship God his way. So we pray. We pray over these people. We pray that they, as they grow, they would stay in the Lord. For David Valerie, especially as she grows, we want her to know the Lord, to know his word. We pray for Johnny and Ingrid, and we want them to do their part. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, because, again, according to the word of God. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Easier said than done sometimes. But bring them up in the nurture and an admonition of the Lord. So what we're doing and what we're praying for when we're praying for people is according to the word of God. That baby will be brought up and grow in grace as her parents serve the Lord and show her the way. Show her the truth. Show her the life. Show her Jesus. That's the call. And our prayer for Pavel and Joanna, as they're a little bit older, not much, but a little bit older, is that they would stay the course in ministry. That they would stay true to God's word. Because let me tell you now, and let me speak into your life, that there will be those that come along and try and take you away from the word of God, and you've got to stay that course. And that's our prayer. That's our prayer. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine, continue in them. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's our prayer for this family. That's our prayer. According to the word of God, that they would be servants of God. It's our prayer for Valerie, according to the word of God. She would be a servant of God. And that's my prayer. And as a leadership within this church, that's our prayer for you. That you would serve God according to the word of God. Because if you're not doing that, whatever else you're doing, if you're a believer and you know Him as your Savior, it's futile. It's folly. We're called to be servants of God according to the word of God. Dedication in that. So there's a joy in dedicating places, but that's just an act. There's a joy in dedicating people, but that's just an act. It's won and it's done. The most important dedication is not the act of dedication. It's the state of dedication. It's not the act, it's the attitude. It's the most important thing. And there is joy in that. And we'll see this. Ezra chapter number 6, verses 21 to 2. Here we'll see the joyful attitude of dedicated purpose. We've had the joyful act of dedicating places. We've had the joyful act of dedicating people. This is the joyful act of dedicated purpose. Let's read this. Verse 21. And the children of Israel, which were come out again of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days of joy, and the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. So yes, we can dedicate places. Yes, we can dedicate people. But here's where the rubber meets the road. Are you dedicated in purpose? Are you dedicated to the Lord, to His will, to His word, and to His work? Because that's not something I can do for you. That's not something Pastor Joshua can do for you. That's not something your friends can do for you. That's your heart before a holy God. That's an attitude. That's an attitude. And here, the children of Israel, we celebrate the Passover. This is probably the first time the Passover is celebrated for at least 70 years. Remember, they've been in captivity, they've had no temple, they're not able to do this. And Passover was that great feast that reminded them of their deliverance from Egypt, where God passed over them. And they were delivered from Egypt. So they remembered that first and foremost, and that's important. As we think about dedication in the life of believers, here's what I want you to remember first and foremost. The day the Lord passed over your sin. The day the Lord spared you. The day the Lord put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for your sin. That's where it has to start. If you've never come to that point, the message is come. Come to the Lord Jesus. Experience the joy there is in knowing Him, having your sins forgiven. But that's the start of it. That's the one and done, if you like. Because when you come to Calvary's cross, when you come in repentance and faith, that means trusting not in yourself, but only in Him. Understanding that by your very nature, you're a wicked person and in trouble with the Holy God. And the only way to be right with Him is for a substitute to take your place, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to be right with Him. So to recognize that and come to it. But for those that have experienced that, remember that. You were delivered from the penalty and the power of sin. You were delivered from eternal damnation. You were delivered, redeemed, restored, given the righteousness of Christ. Once, forever, for an eternity. It's one and done. It's one and done. But following that, we have to realize that we have to live in that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses 55-57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You enter into the seat of faith, you've experienced that. That act is done. It's finished. It's finished. That's the cry from the cross. When Jesus says from that cross, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have they forsaken me? And he sits there under the wrath. And then the words that he offers. And do I have like an endless word? It is finished. All and done. So when you come to Calvary, when you come there, that's it, it's finished. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. You remember Roy Tassel? Yes.
Yes.
Do you know the song? Who knows Roy Tassel's song? Do you know Record Breakers? This is 2 weeks in a row I've paid for the older people. Not me. We had 3 degrees last week. Now we have Roy Breaker. Roy Tassel and Record Breakers. All right. You going to do it, John? Go on.
Dedication. Dedication, that's what you need. If you want to be the rest, if you want to be the best, dedication's what you need. If you want to be a record breaker, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Such a mistake. John is the guy you want in your quiz team. Really remembers all this stuff. So, you know, there's truth in that. There is truth in that. You know, dedication is what you need if you want to succeed. You have to be dedicated to something to succeed, and that's true. But when it comes to the supernatural work of God, when it comes to having a joy of dedicated purpose in the Lord, there needs to be something more. It's not just dedication that you need. It's separation. You see, without separation, there can be no dedication. And you might think, well, what do you mean? Well, after the feast of the Passover came the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And synonymous, but now they've kind of merged into one. But they were two. And you had the Passover, and then for the next 7 days, you had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we read there in Ezra that they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They had the Passover, but then they celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, this is where we get to the crux of it, because if you turn to Exodus chapter number 12, or it'll be up on the screen for you there, it says, so this is according to the word of the Lord that they're doing this. 7 days shall ye eat of unleavened bread, even the first day shall put away all leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, there shall be cut off from Israel. Leviticus 23, verse 16. On the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto the Lord, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. So the 14th, from this on, is Passover, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread comes after that. Feast of Unleavened Bread, coincidentally, is where we get the term spring cleaning from. Because what the Jews do is they follow this ritual where they are to get the leaven out of their house. And this is what they do. So after Passover night, this is what it represents. After Passover night, when the Egyptians were pressing upon the people, they had to leave, and leave in quite a hurry. And the only thing they were able to take with them was dough, which had no time to rise. And what happened then is it was without leaven, and they baked it the next day, and it's called unleavened bread. There's no leaven in it, so there's no rising ingredient in there. This bread is called matzah in Hebrew. And if you look at matzah bread in Hebrew, you'll see amazing pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the feasts of Israel are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're for Israel and the church, and they're fulfilled, each and every one of them, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his first coming and in his second coming. So, the Passover pictures deliverance out of Egypt, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures a delivery from the bondage of slavery. And this is what the whole picture is, because leaven is a picture of sin in Scripture. You see it, you only see it appear once in an offering in Leviticus, and that's symbolic of sin. But when you see 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 78, let's look at that quickly. We need to move on. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, and as your leaven, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So the picture that is given in the leavened bread is that it's a separation from sin. Passover is that deliverance, where unleavened bread is the separation from sin. And it's a 7-day feast. And that's not a coincidence. The 7 is the number of completion, perfection, maturity. So what we see, if we look back at verse 21 of Ezra chapter number 6 again, it says, the children of Israel, which were coming in out of the captivity, all had such separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat. See, they separated themselves. And that's the picture that's in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's a separation. That's what the leaven is picturing. It's put out of the house. It's taken out. It's actually put into this one bag and burnt outside the house. It's a picture of separation. So what we see here is the doctrine of biblical separation. And this is one of the forgotten doctrines. Separation is a biblical doctrine. Now, we have to understand that it's not separation onto nothing, it's separation onto something. A lot of people make the mistake of separating from everything, but we're to separate from the things that are not of the Lord onto, that's the other side of it, the things that are of the Lord. Our separation is a two-way process, you understand me? You have to say, I'm separated from this. You know, that church isn't preaching the gospel, therefore I'm done with the church. No. Separate from, onto the things of the Lord. So, you know, separation is biblical, and we have to mark it out. The Scripture tells us this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 14 to 17. Quickly, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord, or what agreement has Christ with Belial? Or demons or Satan, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So separation is biblical. Not isolation, but separation from something onto something. And folks, that takes dedication. And the greatest separation that can happen in your life is when you turn from sin onto the things of the Lord. And as a believer, as you walk, you are presented with opportunities to serve yourself or serve the Lord each and every day. And you have to make a choice there. Are you going to separate yourself onto God from that? Or are you just going to walk in it? Walk in it. See, that's not an act of dedication. It's a state of dedication. It's a constant state of being dedicated to the Lord's work, understanding that that means some form of separation, that life can't be the way that it was. That there has to be something different, because we have to live according to the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us the standard is different from the world. Calls us to be a people that is different to the world. To shine light in the world. To be people that actually, when we go into the world, people know who we are. Know what we believe. Know that we're Christians. Know that we're saved by grace. Know that the Lord saved us from our sins. Know that we have no regrets about it. Know that we're not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. And we, when we walk into the world, we are separated unto God as a state of dedication. And the world will see Christ. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. We walk out of this building. We walk into the world. We camouflage our way back in. So the people around us know no different. See no different. What's happening? The act of dedicating yourself on Sunday is just an act. It's not a state of dedication. Because a state of dedication walks in God's will. A state of dedication is able to stand in what God has for us. We are the people of God for the last days. And if we do not have a state of dedication and a joy in that, what hope is there? What hope is there when the people of God are just like the people of the world? What hope is there when we leave this building that we've dedicated to the work of the Lord and the people that we've dedicated to the work of the Lord and we go out there and we forget about the work of the Lord? We just disappear. Merge into the crowd. State of dedication will keep you going. Now, I don't confess to be an expert at this. I'm doing my best. And every day is a learning day. And every day is a day when I don't do the things that I want to do, but I determine to be better. I determine to be stronger. I determine to know more of God and allow Him to lead me in what He has for me. I determine that as a father in my house, my children will see and know that I love the Lord Jesus, that I am devoted to Him, and He is sovereign, that I see things through Him and have the peace of God upon me. That takes dedication. Easy to take your eyes off God. Easy to take your eyes off God. It's essential that we keep our eyes upon Him. It's a state of dedication. So as we close, as we wrap this up, we've seen this morning, and I hope you agree with me, that there is joy in dedication of places. There is joy in dedication of people. It's filled my heart to dedicate Valerie. It's filled my heart to dedicate this family. There's joy in it. There's joy in it. And I thank the Lord for it. But, that's just an act. That's just an act. And what we concentrate on, what we look on, is the attitude. Attitude of dedication. And when we look for that attitude of dedication, that attitude of dedicated purpose, when we look to the Lord for all He has for us, what we will see is His great example. His great example. Luke chapter number 22, verse 42 and 44. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. A state of dedication. Matthew 27, 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, the Lord came. He faced physical hurt. He faced spiritual hurt. He had a dedicated purpose. He came to die. He came to go to the cross. And although we can maybe enter into some of the physical pain, we can never enter into the spiritual pain. Those words that the Lord cries, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We can never enter into that. As for the first time in eternity, the Father turns his face away from the Son, which is what the great pain of Calvary's cross is. That he who knew no sin became sin for us. Prayed in the garden and sweat drops of blood at the pressure. At the pressure. He said this, not my will, but thine be done. That's a state of dedication, of dedicated purpose. And there's joy to be found in that dedicated purpose. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Really done. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. There's joy in dedicated purpose. I wonder this morning, can you say honestly, your dedicated purpose. Can you say honestly that your heart is his? Can you say honestly, honestly, that you're trying to live your life in a state of dedication? My prayer is that your answer is yes. But if your answer is no, if things aren't right with the Lord, if they're not right, then here's my call. Here's my prayer. Make it right this morning. Make it right this morning. Know him. Know his power in your life. Know the purposes and will of God. And to do that, you have to live in a state of dedication, a dedicated purpose for what he has for you. What we're going to do now is we're going to have communion. Because